Introducing the all-new 2023 Ford Bronco Sport, now available at Jim K. Ford. With its rugged design and off-road capabilities, this SUV is built for adventure. Whether you're heading off the beaten path or just cruising around town, the Bronco Sport delivers performance, comfort, and style. With four-wheel drive, terrain management system, and advanced safety technology, you can take on any road with confidence. Adventure awaits at 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans or jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
We are rolling and lots coming up on the show today. I think it's now official, James, yep, that we did a weekly show for about a daily show for about 4 years. And that was way easier to track you down for than these new weekly ones we're trying to do.
You struggle
with scheduling.
It's the old thing. You better be careful when you make fun of someone, you know? You better be careful when you make fun of someone, you know, because I would, you know, it's a 2-hour time change, right? I'm 2 hours behind you, you know, because if you mixed up a time, of course, I would talk to you like I've never mixed up a time before. Fuck. I don't know how, you text me this afternoon or this morning or something, 7 o'clock, and I don't have my glasses on all the time, right?
Right, right.
And I just assumed you're always texting my time, I guess, you know, and then no, but if you read it, Jim. Well, no, I did. Yeah. No, well, you didn't. You didn't read
all
of it.
A couple of phone calls at your time.
Seven o'clock, my time, Jim. So that's five your time. Yeah, yeah. I apologize, Stevie, for my stupidity.
That's all right. You know? All good. We got lots to get to today. Lots of cool stories going on in the world of sports. You know what the one that's grabbing me right now that I think, no matter if you're a big sports fan or a very fringe sports fan, you like a little entertainment mix in there as well.
Sure.
I think the Travis Kelce Taylor Swift romance that's clearly on. It's on, my friend. Would probably be around the old water cooler at work on Monday. I think a lot of people will be talking about that. Because it's been kind of percolating for a while. Travis Kelce, we're talking to Kansas City Chiefs, famous tight end, a couple of Super Bowls under his belt now. He's been talking on podcasts about how he'd like to meet Taylor Swift. Did he get backstage? Did she snub him? Did she not snub him? And then all of a sudden, here's the game today on September 24th. Not only is Taylor Swift there, not only is she in the Chiefs suite wearing a Chiefs jersey, she's sitting with Travis Kelce's mom. So this thing is on, my friend. This thing is on. When Kelce got a touchdown today, she was saying something along the line, "That's effing awesome." So I don't know if I ever saw Taylor Swift drop an F-bomb before, but she did.
Yeah, she did. Well, that won't last. So anyway, it's a good story for now. Yeah. Taylor's the one who writes all the songs about you, right? I would never date that chick. I would never date that chick.
Breakup songs for sure.
Yeah, you can be famous, you know, not because you're not famous, right? It's because when it goes bad, because obviously you're kind of a maniac, right? Yeah. Taylor Swift. That when it goes, you know, it's like, you know what? This is a fantastic inspiration for a song. You know, and you might be going, okay, like maybe she texts you, you know, and goes, you know, sorry, it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. You know, but it gives me an inspiration, you know, out of all bad things, Steve, you know, come positive. So I'm going to write a song, you know, and here it is, you know, you're a douchebag. Da na 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 na.
Oh,
you're a douchebag. Da na 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 na.
That's catchy. I like that. Yeah. It's got a good beat. I can dance to it.
She goes hard, man, when she writes those tunes about her boyfriends.
Well, it's not just that. Now she's helping out other women who've been jilted by her ex-lovers.
It's almost, you know, on a semi-serious. I mean, wait a minute here. Whoa. You're like the number one artist in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm not approving this. You know, it's like, what do you mean writing a song about me?
Right.
You know, in a defamatory way.
Well, she doesn't name names. She doesn't name names. Never.
Well, still. You know. Anyway.
Yeah. No, it's interesting though. I thought that. I mean, it's talk about the most American couple. A guy who has got Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Guys, he had his own reality TV show at one point. And of course, Taylor Swift, who's bigger than the Beatles right now. It's crazy. Right. But you know who else is doing pretty well is Kelsey's mom. Had two sons in last year's Super Bowl. And now she's hanging out with Taylor Swift. 65-year-old woman. How's it going? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Good for crazy. Anyway, it will end. There's no doubt.
Oh, yes.
She doesn't last very long, right? So
no, I'd be shocked if it's still going, to be honest.
No.
We just confirmed it. It's probably over.
She wasn't there in the fourth quarter.
Had enough of this guy.
Yeah.
So we got a new owner in the city of Ottawa, where I am. I know you're in Edmonton, but of course you helped me cover sports here in Ottawa for the better part of 12 years or something like that. And Eugene Melnyk was probably the guy for most of it, I think. And now we have a new owner here in Michael Andlauer, and I thought he made an amazing first impression. He officially took over on Thursday of last week, and then on Friday, he's there meeting the media. And honestly, he just said all the right things and did it in a way that, you know, makes you go, oh, yeah, I could have a beer with this guy. And for a fan base that's been used to hearing nothing but the wrong things, hearing the right things coming from their owner, I think was a real breath of fresh air. Sounds like you saw the news conference.
Well, I did. I saw the transcript.
Or clips.
Yeah, I saw clips and transcript of it. And I, you know what? There was one thing he said that it was like super believable after, you know, it's like one of these, okay, I'm going to keep reading on here because I'm not sure what else he's going to say. This is good, you know, where other stuff is just, you know, sometimes these platitudes, you know, from, well, I want to create a winning atmosphere and, you know, I'll do whatever it takes, all that shit. I thought it was like he was a nanny who totally convinced me, don't worry about a thing. I'm going to look after your child, man.
Okay? Yeah.
There'll be, don't you worry about a thing. I totally understand what it's like, you know, and I sort of got that sense when he said, I will look after this team for you, you know? That's the one that struck me, and I thought, I really believe that, you know?
Yeah. I agree. That was a great quote. He said, this is the actual quote, so I do wear the title of owner of the Ottawa Senators, but I understand that this city and the fans, you are the true owners. I promise to take care of your team with the utmost respect, integrity, and care, both on and off the ice. And it's almost like it's like an old Seinfeld episode. You know, if every instinct the previous owner was wrong, then the opposite would have to be right. And Andlauer seems to be doing all the opposite of what the previous ownership did, saying all the right things, doing all of the right things. And right out of the gate, one of the things he does is he undoes the firing of Cyril Leader. Eugene Melnyk took Melnyk out in 2017. And Andlauer brings him right back. Like, what a great thing. I know Cyril.
Yeah.
Great guy, unbelievable team president. And he just gets fired by, I'm sure, in a moment of volatility from Eugene Melnyk back in 2017. And so he writes that wrong. And it sounds like he's now going to right the wrong of Daniel Alfredsson, who was alienated by previous ownership. Now, it's only a matter of time now, I guess, before he slides in there in some kind of player development role or something like that. So he's just undoing the damage from previous ownership. Not that Melnyk was terrible all the way along, but certainly in the last 5-6 years of his time as Senators owner, he made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. It's so funny, you know, that you mentioned Cyril Leader, because I haven't talked to Cyril Leader in years. I've been following him a little bit because he's had some issues, right? Some health issues.
Oh,
hang on. Sorry, Steve, take that
back. You're thinking about Jeff Kyle, who is also one of that group of, he's great friends with Cyril, natural error, but Jeff Kyle, he's definitely in a battle right now and hanging in there for now, but no, that's not Cyril.
Yeah, not Cyril. So I was talking to Cyril because when I was in Metcalf for the Mushroom Fest, I auctioned off a jersey of Courtnell's, and if you did, you can come on the show. If you wanted to buy this, you can come on the show 2-3 times, and you want to cut up your buddies or do whatever. You want to use it for a business thing.
Is that show still on, by the way?
Oh, yeah. We did one yesterday.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, it's still on. Still.
Excellent.
We took a bunch of summer off, Stevie.
Sure.
A guy from a company that Cyril works for won it. And so I've been talking to Cyril for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, nice.
And we were trying to arrange to get him on. He said, okay. He was coming on to pitch the company he works for. And we said, that's fine. That was part of the deal, whatever you want to do. And then he said, last week, I said, okay, we're good to go Thursday. He said, nah, Jimmy, listen, thanks for your patience, but if you can wait till next week, I'm going to have a lot more news to talk about.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. So, odd, you know, that I'm right on top. I was on top of it. Anyway, he's coming on the show this week.
Oh, very good.
With me and Russ. So, anyway, way to go. One of the great guys, you know, one of the great guys. And I sure like the talk that the owner's giving.
Yeah,
I do.
And he's talking about Daniel Offerson like it's already done. Cyril Leader, I mean, that's such a natural. Imagine if you're Andlauer and how fortunate you feel that a guy like Cyril Leader, who was the, you know, I'm going to need a president and a CEO. If only there were a beloved 25-year man in the role just sitting in the city waiting to be hired.
Right. Right,
that worked out pretty nicely. And, of course, Alfie's still in Ottawa, has expressed interest in being part of the club at some point again. And I think I think we know what that point is once new ownership comes along. Alfredson was at the Friday news conference, and Andlauer was asked about Alfie, and he said, oh, Alfie pretty much embodies everything I believe this organization should be about. So he didn't want to say at that point, in that moment, that Alfie was going to be hired by the club. But I can assure you of this. Alfie is going to be hired by the club. And that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There were some other guys I recognized, Stevie. I don't have it in front of me, who were additional investors in that. Maybe you can pull it up while I'm yapping. And I recognized some of the names. And I thought,
Jason
get
York's
on them.
Brother. Jason York's brother, Jeff, is one.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of those guys who've got the cash, Stevie. You can take a little solace here in knowing this, that it's not always just a business deal for them. You know, it's like, you know what? I feel right about this. Why? Because of the guy who's heading it up.
Right.
Because of the dude who's heading it up, you know? And I get a feeling that some of those, you know, names of guys who are investing in it, would they do it with someone else? Would you do it with Eugene Melnyk?
Right.
And my guess is, you know, I get it. It's a business and all that. But, yeah I'm going to take a pass this time, you know, sort of deal.
Yeah. Well, you just have to look at.
Okay, I'm in, you know.
Yeah. You just have to look at Cyril Leader's replacements. Running screaming for the exit. You'll remember Tom Anselmi, who replaced Cyril Leader in 2017. He didn't last a year. I think he's in Edmonton now with the Oilers in some kind of capacity. Operating officer or something like that. And then after that, Jim Little lasted a couple of months. He was let go, maybe for, you know, conflict with the owner, maybe for other things as well. Your partners in the Andlauer deal are Anna and Olivia Melnyk, who retained 10% in the franchise. Jeff York, that's Jason's brother, and he's a partner in Farm Boy. He put together a group with 20 investors, maybe more.
Okay.
The Malhotra family from Claridge Homes here in town, Paul and Michael Poletta of, I believe it's Alinity Group. And then there's Oshawa General owner Rocco Tullio has also made some kind of an investment. And let's see, the Feldberg family from Global Furniture Group, that's not been confirmed. And that's all from Post Media and Bruce Garriott. He had the list handy here, so I grabbed it. So thanks to Bruce for that. But that, to answer your question, is the full list of owners of the Ottawa Senators right now. And so a pretty well-heeled group, and you have to be when you just spent $950 million American for the Sens.
Yeah. Are those all local connections, Steve?
No. There's some in Toronto.
Some in Toronto, yeah. Okay. But Yorkie is, of course, Ottawa guy.
Yep, Larry Jones.
Anyway.
Yep.
Oh, Yorkie's farm board guy, isn't he?
No, I'm just saying Claridge Homes. Claridge is local.
Yeah. So that's good. That's good.
Yeah, for sure.
These are guys that, you know, on the other side of you know, running a business, right? The best thing to do is get the guys who are the head of business in your town, you know, for charitable donations and corporate sales and season tickets and stuff. Good idea. Good.
Yep. Okay. Nice. So let's take a time.
Ottawa.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. It's everything's looking good. The Sens, as we speak today, just won their preseason opener today, 3-2 over Toronto. It's only preseason, but we're off and running is the point. And it won't be long before the real live fire stuff is happening. And there's all kinds of reasons to be excited if you're a Sens fan, on the ice, off the ice. So very cool stuff. When we come back on the program, we got to get into this Mike Babcock. A lot has happened in the 2 weeks since we last did an episode. You can thank Jim for that. Mike Babcock has happened. Aaron Rodgers has happened. We'll get into those stories coming up after these words.
Introducing the future of driving with Ford electric vehicles, now available at Jim K. Ford. Say goodbye to gas stations and hello to efficiency with electric power that delivers a smooth and silent ride. With advanced technology and smart features, you'll experience a whole new level of convenience and connectivity. And with Ford's commitment to sustainability, you'll also be doing your part for the planet. So come on down to Jim K. Ford today and test drive the future with Ford EVs or visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Are you looking to buy or sell your home? I've got some advice for you. The Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help you. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago and did so much for us, including staging. He provided a great painter, a cleaner, even bought new ceiling lights for us, all to make sure our home was looking its best on picture day. It's all part of his services, and he could certainly do the same for you. Visit glennwalton.com. Now back to the show. All right, so I'm sure that you and Russ on the Suspendables have gotten into the Mike Babcock thing by now. He resigned as Columbus Blue Jackets head coach in a very weird situation involving his players' photos, apparently asking to get their cell phones, putting it on AirPlay so it could be put on a bigger screen so he can have a look at what's going on their phones. Their claim is that it was just a tactic to get to know the player. And right. The other hand, the players, some of the players anyway, the ones that didn't go public but instead went to the Spittin' Chicklets podcast to complain about it, they weren't comfortable with it, and as the league and the team looked into it more and more, it looked like it was agreed by all that this is too big a distraction and he should move on. Pascal Vincent is now Babcock's replacement. He signed a 2-year contract now, and I just found the whole thing to be super weird, James. You'd think that you could just be for 5 seconds not weird, but Babcock was not able to do that.
Yeah, you know, it's the day and age. It hasn't quite, you know, it is catching up to what you're allowed to interview a guy about, Steve, what questions you're allowed to ask, you know, what sort of sexual orientation, all this stuff, right? That over the last little while, the times they are a-changing, you know. You and I sure know that better than anybody. And so, you know, I remember talking to a guy who ran an who was my old man's campaign manager. Mm-hmm. And I knew a guy who was thinking of running in a federal election in his hometown in Ontario. And I said, you know what? You'd do well to talk to this guy, you know, because although the times have changed, you know, how to win votes hasn't really, you know. And so he did. And the friend of my dad said to this friend of mine who was thinking of running, said, I'll tell you what, you better come forward and bring out every skeleton in your closet. You better talk about everything you've done that you plan to do, you know, and don't leave anything out, anything at all. And my buddy's like, well, what's that have to do with it? He said, well, you'll see that this day and age. And so if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets, when you sit in this interview with Babcock, right, you're going to say, okay, that's great. Love what you had to say. Now we need to talk about this. Okay. We need to know exactly what you're going to be doing with the players, okay?
Right.
And is there anything out of the ordinary here that you're thinking of doing or trying, even if you don't think you are? We'd like to know about that, you know?
Right?
And so maybe they do. They probably didn't, right? They just don't think, right? Oh, my God, we forgot to ask the guy if he's going to creep everybody's phone, you know? Right? So
you shouldn't have to ask that, though.
Right. You shouldn't. But, you know, I'm not blaming the Blue Jackets. Who saw it coming, right? Who saw it coming? You know, the other thing is, you know, there was some coach I saw one day, Steve, during practice, that he was bag skating the players. It was like a two-a-day or something like that. You probably remember this. And he said, look, for you, I'm going to skate freaking 2 laps. And for you, I'm going to do these back and forths. And for you, I'm going to, you know, he did it through the whole practice, right? Meaning I'm prepared to do what you have to do, you know?
I think that's Mike Milbury back in the day.
Something like that, you know, something like that, right? So if you have your wits about you, you go, no problem, Babcock, let me see your phone. You know, let's have a look at your phone, right? Fair is fair. You know, I disagree with this. So it's going to go one of two ways. Either we both don't look at our phones or we both do, you know, but all that has trouble written all over it. You know, it has trouble written. It's creepy. Russ spoke to a couple guys who remained anonymous, but said that they were creeped out by Babcock, that he was very uncomfortable to be around in a couple of different situations. And I mean, that's all I can say about that, but yeah, the guy's just, you know, beyond out there. Right, it's like what?
Well, you can certainly
get to know your families, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk about it then. I'll tell you. What do you want to know? I'll tell you. You can find some big names out there that are very much on the record about Mike Babcock and their dislike of the guy. Mike Commodore, absolutely. You hate to throw the word hate around loosely. Commodore hates Mike Babcock and has been talking about him for a long time. I saw somebody put something out on social media. Mike Commodore has been trying to bury Mike Babcock for well over a decade now, and all it took was one tweet from the Spittin' Chicklets to take the guy down. Chris Chelios is another guy. I mean, I know you know Chris Chelios, and he, from their time with Detroit, he cannot say enough bad things about him. And then on the other side, I don't think Johan Franzen has ever, you know, gone as ballistic as Commodore Chelios has on Mike Babcock. But if you listen to his story and the way Mike Babcock played mind games with that guy while he's dealing with massive concussion issues, like Babcock almost wrecked that guy. And of course, we know all about the Mitch Marner situation in Toronto, which inevitably got him fired. The NHL, I'm not going to say much more than the NHL is just a much better place with Mike Babcock in it. That kind of, toxic personality, whether it's born in a social defect, I don't know. Defect's probably the wrong word, but a social deficiency. I don't know, but Mike Babcock should not be in a position of power, is my point, Jim.
Yeah, here's the problem in my mind, Steve, with this, okay, is if you were applying for a job, say, Steve, if you were, you know, and a new boss was coming in to take over the construction company you work for, and he calls you in, right, and says, okay, this is what I want to do. You know, I want to look at your phone, right? And you're thinking about this job, and there's tons of work out there. There are 30,000 people, literally 30,000 short. I know this is a fact, actually, when I bring up this example, for workers in Ontario, okay?
Right.
For unskilled laborers in construction. So if this guy says that, you might look at it and go, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing that because I don't give a fuck. Okay. I don't like, it's not that big a deal. I'll go somewhere else. So the position of power from that guy, he doesn't have that much power. Okay. He doesn't because you've got choices. The problem I see here of this absolute abuse of power is you're talking about people who have, you know, in players who have achieved a boyhood dream that they would do anything to make the NHL. You know, when you talk to some of these stories and you find out about these guys, what they did to make the team and the sacrifice their parents made and other coaches and all that stuff, you're prepared to do whatever you have to do.
Right.
You are, right? It's just over it. And so when this guy, that's, you know, he can make anyone do what he asked them to do.
Right. And therein lies his power.
Yeah. And therein lies that power, right? That he can, these guys do anything, man. I know what I'm doing. I know every kid here, you know, wants to be on the ice. And so for me, that's a huge abuse of power, knowing that you're going to put all these people in terrible positions, you know. I don't know if that makes sense, that example, but you know what I mean? It's like fuck, what am I supposed to do? I made the show. I'm in the NHL. I'll do anything to stay here. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll work as hard as I have to, you know, yada, yada, yada. And this guy says, okay, I want to look at your phone.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'd say that,
total invasion of privacy. Total invasion of privacy.
For sure. And I think that I would bet dollars to donuts that as you work your way down the Columbus Blue Jackets roster from most valuable player down to a rank and file player, that Mike Babcock's behavior in these let me see your photos in your phone discussions, I bet they got more and more toxic the lower that it got in the batting order. Johnny Gaudreau, people will respond to that and say, well, the guy's got money to burn. He's set for life. He's one of the MVPs of the team. Boone Jenner, the captain as well. Like these guys, I'm sure Mike Babcock probably skirted things a little more diplomatically when he was doing this. But I bet you as we move down the food chain that the behavior got worse would be my guess.
Yeah. And how do you say no? You know, how do you say no to your boss in that situation?
Right. Even the best guys on the team can lose their ice time.
Yeah. Right. Right. And he certainly seems like the sort of guy that is presenting every idea that he has is backed up with an ultimatum, you know?
Right.
Oh, you don't want to. Oh, okay. I get it. Okay. You'll see. Yeah. You'll see. You know, it's like, fuck, it's criminal. It's criminal what he's doing. Speaking of power, because I don't know if this story will hold legs because it's been in the news now, I don't know, for 2 weeks, but this Deion Sanders, okay?
Sanders.
Yeah, coaching Colorado and how outspoken he's been. He's getting unlimited press time all of a sudden. But they beat a lopsided favorite, right? In their, I don't know if it was their opener or what.
Yeah, they were the underdog, and they went in and won their opener. And right now their record on the season is 3-1. They lost on Saturday.
Yeah. So he's laid that. He is interesting, though. He's not he says what he wants. He beats to his own drum. He's very vocal about what he's going to do with the team. He's very vocal about if you don't do it, you're going to be this, that, the other thing. You're going to be out. But I like the guy. I like the guy. Watch some of his interviews. He's totally inspires people. I think he was a preacher at one time. He's got deep faith and he's not afraid to talk about it. But anyway, there's what I think is a positive, because he talks about the youth and he talks about how young these people are. And so you've got to approach it differently than other people and then other jobs and stuff like that. I don't have it all in front of me, but there's a perfect way that this guy is inspiring these players. Will they win? I assume they got wiped out yesterday. I looked and they were down 21-0 or something like that when I looked. But there's how someone should be. Do yourself a favor and go listen to Deion Sanders.
Sanders,
yeah. His kid's the quarterback of the team.
He is, yeah.
I used to think of him as Goofy, but what's his nickname? He still calls himself that.
Well, you can go with Neon Deion or Primetime.
Primetime is what he calls himself. So anyway, it comes at the same time that Babcock should never be able to, you know, have any position of power again. And this guy will help a lot of guys who are coming up as coaches and stuff.
The Deion Sanders thing is interesting too, in that, you're right. He's motivating the proper way, you know, through his words. And, he's really, really good. Cause I've seen probably about 3 speeches usually held at practice. And then of course he's very good with the media as well. You know, they were coming after us. It's sort of a story about the media as we kind of change gears away from the Babcock thing, the Deion Sanders thing in Colorado. You know, people are, I'm getting tired of that story. And there's the discussion about, other teams are gunning for Deion Sanders. It's more of a media product, some of these things, in that Deion Sanders is really good with his motivational speaking. And he's one of the greatest NFL players in history, an analyst for a long time, and now he's coaching his son in the Colorado Buffaloes. Mm-hmm. And constantly when he says these great things, other coaches are perceived as slighting him and Colorado, when in reality, all that's happening is he's saying really inspirational things. The media goes to opposing coaches and asks them specifically about Deion Sanders and the things that he says. And while coaches answer the question, and now it's splashed up as a headline as though that's the big talking point for the coming game. We're going to take down Deion or something like that, because that's what he talked about. Well, no, you asked him about it and he gave you an answer about it. And so it's interesting to me how big stories that should, you know, probably not be big stories turn into these bonfires because the media fans it.
Yeah. You know what else he said, which was what lots of people are thinking, and I've got to admit, me too, about the way the, you know, young people dress. Okay. And one of the more noticeable things, and I think it's kind of this gangster attitude, not saying they're gangsters. One of the notable things, most noticeable things that I see all the time is wearing your jeans below your butt. Okay.
Pants on wearing the ground.
You know, what's that?
Oh, that's an old American Idol gag of some guy who tried out for American Idol, and his whole song was pants on the ground, pants on the ground, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground.
You've seen that where you see half their underwear and all that stuff, right?
Everybody has, yeah.
Yeah, he said, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. He's also telling them, if you want respect, you know, you're going to have to, that doesn't look very respectful for me. I don't want to see your underwear.
Right.
No. So you're pulling your pants up. Literally, right, is what he was saying. You know, a friend of mine, Daryl, went to Denver College and played his college hockey there as a young kid, as a 17-year-old. And Marshall Johnson was his coach, who you would know, Steve, and everyone else in Ottawa. He was with the Sens, right?
GM.
And, yeah, and he, you know, he's always said, you know, think of that. You grew up on a farm, which he did in Edmonton, and then you're sent away. Because you want to, for sure, right? And you got this, you know, this overwhelming college scholarship that you got to Denver. You know, he said, these are really vulnerable times for young people, you know, when you're 17 to 22 or 3 years old, you know, the brain hasn't developed yet and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, these coaches play a way, way bigger role than a hockey angle, you know? That they've got to look after these kids. You know, they've got to be a father figure to them, you know, way more than just stepping on the ice and having a practice for an hour a day and then games, you know. And he said, you know, if it wasn't for Marshall Johnson, I would have led a totally different life. I learned so much from that guy. And it was all non-hockey related stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was there for 4 years.
Right.
You know, and he played. I don't know if Marshall was there the whole time, but he couldn't stress it enough that how vital it is that, you know, at a young age, you know, junior A and going into, you know, if you play in the minors or whatever on the way up, how vital these coaches are to shaping the lives of these young men, you know.
Yeah, well, I've done a bunch of the coaching certifications, and that's really driven into you, your importance as a coach, in that, you know, some of the players, everything's just fine at home, but that's not the case in all cases. And sometimes, You dabble in being a pseudo parent to a degree. Mm-hmm. So it's an extremely important role, and it's why it's so extremely important to keep the people out of it. That's why I was shocked by Bill Peters getting a job in the Western Hockey League recently.
Right.
What? So wait, he's like grown men. He's got the audacity to treat old grown men the way he did. Physical contact, a racial bomb. That's grown men. How is he going to behave when he's with impressionable young kids? You're going to give him another job? Like that guy, yeah, you know, makes Mike Babcock look like a choir boy.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Right. So anyway, I mean, there's all kinds of examples of it from, you know, Graham James all the way down. It's you see... Yeah. When the wrong person gets the position of power in a coaching role, and you know, and again, it's sort of a pseudo parent thing. If they're a negative situation going on there, then then all could be lost for the kid.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, Stevie, is this stuff where they're saying like guys like Babcock and Daryl Sutter, you know, who are saying, look, grow up, man. Okay, mm-hmm. You're in the big leagues now. Okay, this is a man's world. Okay, now you're an adult. Okay, so stop with all the other shit, and now welcome to the big time. You know, the game is big time, but some of those kids are 17 or 18 years old. You know, So they're not quite a man yet, you know. They haven't experienced fucking writing checks and having breakups in relationships and tough situations at home where they don't know what to do. And, you know, so they got to stop with that a little bit. You know, they got to stop with that, right? Your skill got you there, okay? But there's a lot of vulnerability, Steve, with people that age still, you know? So, it's, you know, I don't like hearing that anymore. Look at it, okay? You know, playtime's over. You know, playtime's over, all right? You're right. Jesus Christ, man. I've got kids. You got kids, you know? I sure didn't say out the door now. You're 17. You know, 18 years old. Good luck out there, you know, and behave yourself, right?
Yeah. How many bad coaches have been able to get away with whatever they wanted over the years because they didn't have a Spittin' Chiclets podcast to go to? And that's the pro level. I still think that in the junior ranks, and, you know, things are better than they were 40 years ago, obviously, but there would still be a situation where if you've got a bad coach who abuses his power and to some degree his players, those players don't have anywhere to go or talk about it. You know, you can't call if you're like an OHL player who's got a terrible coach, you call Spittin' Chiclets, they're gonna be like, who are you? Why are we talking about that? Because no one's ever heard of you. The NHL level, of course, it's a story. But you know, you'd like to think that some you know, there'd be some whistleblowing opportunity that younger players would have. Anyway, we gotta go. We gotta call it quits right there, my friend.
Oh wow.
I see Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is in the news once again. He says it might come back this year. I don't know what kind of healer he thinks he is. Maybe it's a case of taking a bunch of joints and going into the dark again, and maybe they'll somehow heal him up, but not putting any timeline in place at this point in his rehab process. Still hopes to make it back, maybe just in time for the playoffs. Don't want to get caught in a timeline. Just want to get healthy, do anything I can. Rehab-wise, to put myself in a position to play football again at some point. Here's my impression of Aaron Rodgers. Hot, 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 ow! The end. That's his time with the New York Jets. Four plays in, blows out his Achilles tendon. Oh. Too bad, unfortunate. All right, we'll call it quits there because we are having some technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. But it was good to get you on the air. It's nice to see you again. We'll do this again before the end of the month. Ladies and gentlemen.
Here's an impression of my short career, Steve. Hey, you want to get plowed? Oh, no. Taxi.
Yeah. Yeah, not good. Not good. And thank you for leaving that Pepsi bottle filled with cigarette butts right there in the camera lens for me to enjoy. Yeah, I was trying to fight off throwing up throughout most of the show. Yeesh. Ugh. Blah. All right. Enjoy your day, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for being with us on the SWP. Please subscribe today or support us on Patreon at stevewproject.com.